I am glad to see you in this place today, and I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. And today I'm preaching on this subject: when can you be baptized? When can you be baptized? And we're going to talk about that today as we look at the pages of God's Word. So I want you to stand with me as we read God's Word together. Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we're beginning in verse 36 of the text. The Bible says this: "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" Verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." This is the word of God. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would open eyes, open ears, open hearts. And Lord, that today people would say yes to you. I pray that people would say yes to be saved. I pray that people would say yes to be baptized. I pray for children. I pray for teenagers. I pray for young people. I pray for senior adults. I pray for middle-aged people, for men and women, boys and girls, to hear your voice and to say yes. And Lord Jesus, we'll give you glory and honor for all that you do, for we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. When can you be baptized? I want to show you from the Word of God several things that the Bible says to answer that question: when can you be baptized? And the first answer to the question is this: you can be baptized when you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. When you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. And so Philip was a deacon in the church in Jerusalem. He was in the midst of a great revival among the Samaritan people. Samaritans were coming to know Jesus Christ and professing their faith in him. And he was just rejoicing. Philip was just rejoicing at what God was doing. He came back to Jerusalem, and in the middle of this great revival, God said to him, "I want you to leave Jerusalem, and I want you to go toward the area of Gaza, and I want you to go on the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza." It's a desert area. It must have seemed absolutely incredible to Philip that he would leave a place where God was doing so much to go out to the desert. But he gets out to the desert, and as he is there, he sees a man being carried on a chariot. He was an Ethiopian man. He was a eunuch. He was the treasurer in the queen of Ethiopia's court. And as he is traveling, he's reading a scroll. He's coming from Jerusalem. He's been there to worship, because this Ethiopian man is actually a follower of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is a converted Ethiopian, converted to Judaism. By the way, when you go to Israel today, you will see Ethiopian Jews there in that nation even today. And so he was an Ethiopian Jew. And he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And as he is reading, the passage he is reading is the perfect passage for him to hear and for him to be able to be introduced to Jesus. We read about it in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 32. The passage from Isaiah is Isaiah 53. The Bible says this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And so he's reading that, and as Philip sees him there, Philip runs toward the chariot. He overtakes the chariot, and he can hear the Ethiopian man reading out loud these words. And then the Ethiopian asks Philip a question, verse 34. The eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" And when Philip heard that, he knew that God had opened up an opportunity for him to share the message of Jesus with this man. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about whom? Jesus. What must you do to be baptized? Well, first of all, you must trust Jesus to save you. This Ethiopian read the scripture describing the suffering of the Christ. He asked the question, who is he talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip said, well, he's talking about this one named Jesus. And then he began to talk about Jesus, the Son of God, and how Jesus died on the cross, and how Jesus rose from the grave, and how Jesus promises to give eternal life to everyone who trusts in him. This man heard the gospel of Jesus, and because of that, he was ready, as he believed, he was ready to be baptized. That's the scriptural pattern. Believe and be baptized. You can see it over and over again in the book of Acts. Believe and be baptized. You can find it throughout the pages of the New Testament. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. It always goes in that order, and it always, one always follows close on the heels of the other. Believe and be baptized. It doesn't say get baptized when you're a baby and then maybe you'll believe later. That's not what it says. It says believe and be baptized. It doesn't say believe and then take a 2-semester course, and after you've studied it, maybe you'll be ready to be baptized. It doesn't say that. It says believe and be baptized. So as soon as you have believed in Jesus, you're ready to do what? You tell me. Be baptized. Just that simple. And so for adults today, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no other step you need to take before you get baptized. For teenagers today, if you trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's no other step for you to take before you get baptized. Now, for children, elementary school children, young children, we do ask that they meet with Pastor Mark or someone else in our children's ministry. And here's the reason for that: to make sure that they have truly trusted Jesus as Savior. But once we know that they trusted Christ as Savior, they're ready to be baptized. That's the scriptural pattern. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. So you're ready to be baptized when you trusted Jesus to save you. The Bible talks about what it means to trust Jesus, what it means to be saved in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. There the Bible says this: because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism shows that you've been saved. The Bible says you believe in your heart and then you confess it with your mouth. You believe inwardly, you confess outwardly. Baptism is a physical act of confessing outwardly that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So when can you be baptized? When you have trusted Jesus to save you. Second answer to the question, when can you be baptized? You can be baptized when you know you need a new start. That's what baptism is a picture of. It's a picture of the new life, the new identity, the new start that we have when we believe in Jesus. When you know that you need a new start. Now look at what the Bible says there in verse 36 of the text. The Bible says as they were going along the road, they came to some water. That was a miracle in itself. They were in the desert. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. They were in the desert. All of a sudden they come upon this water. They see some water, and the eunuch said, "See." And that's an emphatic see. He's saying like, look, look, look right over there. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? We don't know everything about this eunuch. In fact, we know very, very little. Nothing more than what we've just read today from the book of Acts. We know very little about him. But we do know this. He had come to the place in his life where he had trusted Jesus as his Savior, and he knew that following Jesus meant he had a new life, and that he wanted to portray that new life through obedience to Jesus by being baptized. Baptism shows that we have died to our old life and come alive to a new life through Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that over in the book of Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 verse 4, the Bible says this: we were buried, therefore, with Jesus by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is a picture of dying to our old life and coming alive to a new life in Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible teaches baptism by immersion, by being plunged under the water. How many of you have seen someone get baptized in a Baptist church? Just raise your hands if you've seen it. Yeah, most of us have seen it. Let's talk about what happens there. And often we quote the verse that I just read, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We say, you are buried with Christ in baptism. We put the person under the water. And then you are raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is a picture of dying to our old life. When the person goes underneath the water, it's a picture that they have died to their old life and buried that old life of sin. But have you noticed we don't lead them under? We bring them up. Because as they come up, it shows that we have come alive to a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, understand, baptism in the Scripture doesn't save you. Only faith in Jesus Christ saves you. But a saved person who desires to follow Jesus will follow him by being baptized. Because baptism is the first step in discipleship. The first step in obedience. Jesus commands that his followers be baptized. It's a symbol, yes, but it's not just a symbol. Now, there's an illustration that I use just about every time I talk about baptism. And the reason I use it is because I just think it helps people to understand. It's a symbol, but it's not just a symbol. I have on the ring finger of my left hand a gold band. I have worn it now for almost 28 years. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that one day I stood at the front of a church with my sweet wife, Michelle, and we exchanged these rings and put them on one another's fingers, and in so doing, we symbolized that we were joined together as husband and wife. It is a symbol, but would you agree with me? It's not just a symbol. It's a symbol, but not just a symbol, and I'll illustrate for you what I mean by that. What if, on her wedding day, a bride came down, and it came time for the exchange of rings, and as her groom was getting ready to put the ring on her finger, she made a fist, and she said, "Oh, I want to marry you, but I don't really feel good about putting this ring on my finger." Let me ask you a question. Would there be a problem? Yeah. Or let me give you another illustration. Let's say a man is married to his wife, and he's getting ready to take a trip out of town. And he says, "While I'm gone, listen, honey, while I'm gone, I don't want anything to happen to my wedding ring, so I'm just going to take it off and leave it here at the house while I'm gone." Would there be a problem? Yes. Okay, so it's a symbol. We understand. I've got this. You can go and buy a wedding ring and put it on and not be married. I can take this wedding band off. Watch. Still married. Let me get it back on real fast. It's a symbol, but it's not just a symbol. Now, the wedding band is a man-made symbol. It's a cultural thing that we do. Baptism is not a man-made symbol. Baptism is a God-given symbol. If you have trusted Jesus as Savior, Jesus has said in His Word that the way you portray that physically, the first step is by following Him in baptism, to identify with His death and to identify with His resurrection. It shows that you have a new life. It shows that you have a new identity. Baptism is for those who need a new start. And there are some of you who are here today, and you know you need that new start. You've come to Jesus and you've trusted Him as your Savior, and today you need to show that by following today. Listen, today, and be baptized. Some of you are here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, but He's speaking to you today and showing you that He loves you, that He died on the cross for you, that He wants to save you. And today He'll give you that new start, that new life, that new identity in Him. And you show that by being buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. You can be baptized when you know you need a new start. Number three, when can you be baptized? You can be baptized when you're in the right place to be baptized. Now, I'm not talking here about being in the right place spiritually, although that's very important. I'm talking very, very simply and literally about being in the right place physically to be baptized. Can I tell you something? You're in the right place today physically to get baptized. We're ready for you. Everything's ready. You come today and you say, "I want to get baptized." We're ready to baptize you today. If you have mobility issues, we can work with you. We can help you. You say, well, what will I do about change of clothes? We've already got that taken care of. We got you a change of clothes. We got everything you need to change into to get baptized. We've got everything you need to change into as you leave. We've got hair dryers. We've got mirrors. If you use product on your hair, we can help you with that. There is some chance that you can leave this place today after being baptized looking better than you did when you came in. What we're doing, we're trying to tear down every barrier we can because this is so important. And so, Philip and the eunuch were making their way across the desert, and the Bible says the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Look in verse 38. He commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Why did they go down into the water? Because it takes a lot of water for somebody to get baptized. Because of the picture of going under the water and then coming out of the water. You know, the word baptize literally means to dip, to dunk, or to plunge. Now, I want to tell you, I'd rather be called a Baptist than a dipper, a dunker, or a plunger. But the word literally means to dip, dunk, or plunge. Well, you say, well, then why is it translated in my Bible? Baptized, because when they were making an early translation of the Bible from the original languages of Scripture into English, it was translated in the context of a church where they sprinkled infants as baptism. And the translators knew that the word baptized means to dip or to dunk or to plunge, but they also knew that if they said that, that would get them in trouble with the king and all of the church authorities. And so they just took the Greek word for baptized, baptizo, and they turned it into an English word, baptized. The word means to dip, to dunk, or to plunge. And we even see that in what happened with the eunuch. They came to a place where there was enough water. They both went down into the water. Now listen, if he was just going to sprinkle him, he could have gotten some water out of the cup. He could have taken and just poured it over his head. No, they went down into the water because that's the picture of death, burial, and resurrection. They went down into the water. Then verse 39 says they came up out of the water. You have to be in the right place to be baptized. You've come to the right place today. Today is the day for you to say yes to Jesus and to be baptized. And some of you are here and you say, well, I was baptized when I was 7 years old on a particular Sunday, but I trusted Jesus some years later. Can I tell you something? You need to be baptized. You say, well, I got baptized when I was 7 years old. No, if you weren't saved, it wasn't baptism. I'm not telling you you need to get rebaptized. I'm telling you you need to get baptized. Because it's always believe and be baptized. When you're in the right place, I'm telling you today, you've come to the right place. I've got to keep on moving. Number four, you can be baptized when you are willing to be baptized. If you trusted Jesus as your Savior, then part of following Him is a willingness to be baptized. We don't want to do anything to keep you from being baptized today. If you've trusted Christ, we've done everything we know how to do to make things ready for you today to come and be baptized. But you've got to be willing. The Ethiopian eunuch was willing. And then later on, the Bible tells us about a man named Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians and to drag them off into prison for following Christ. But on his way to Damascus, he met Christ. Then after he met Christ, he went into the city, met a man by the name of Ananias. And as Ananias was ministering to Saul and taking care of him and watching or helping him to take away the scales that were on his eyes after the bright and blinding light that he saw on the road to Damascus, Ananias said something to Saul, and Saul recounted it many years later when he became a great, great missionary who we often call Paul, because that's the name he took as he took the gospel all over the ancient world. Verse 16 of Acts chapter 22. Listen to what Ananias said to Paul. He says, "Now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins calling on his name. Just days, maybe just hours after Saul had come to know Jesus as Savior, Ananias said, "Saul, what are you waiting for? Why do you wait? Get up and be baptized." Now, I've been serving as a pastor for all of my adult life. And over the years, I've heard people bring up all kinds of objections about why they wait or why they won't get baptized. I just want to address some of those objections. And I'm just being really real with you. We're talking about something that's simple, the act of being baptized, but it's often something that's difficult for people. So here's some objections that sometimes I hear. Some people say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't want to get that wet. Because I've watched you Baptists baptize people, and people get really wet." And can I tell you something? That can be a real objection for people. Some people maybe think, "Well, you know, if it could just be like, you know, the perfume section of the department store where you walk through and they just spray you a fine mist as you go through, and could they just do something like that?" No. Why? Because without a lot of water and without a lot of getting wet, you don't have the picture of death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what the Bible commands. You were buried with Christ by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life. Listen, don't let being afraid of water or not wanting to get wet keep you from obeying Jesus. The person I love more than any other person in the whole wide world, when she got saved as a little girl, didn't want to get wet. And she talked to her pastor. And her pastor talked her through what would happen when she got baptized. And Michelle doesn't like water today, doesn't like to get wet like that today. But she followed Jesus in baptism because it's that important. You were buried with Christ in baptism. In death. I want to remind you something. Jesus died for you. He was stretched out on the cross outside of Jerusalem, hung there as people walked past and spat upon him and ridiculed him and mocked him and scorned him. He shed his blood for 6 hours. He cried out, "It is finished." He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He was on that cross for 6 hours. He bore your sin there on that cross, and he died. He was buried and put in that tomb for 3 days. He died for you and was buried for you. And you don't want to get wet? It's a small thing, but Jesus has commanded it. And I promise you this, when you get past either your fear of getting wet or your fear of water or whatever else, and you say, "Lord, this is going to be hard for me, but I'm going to do this because I want to obey," I promise you, Jesus will bless you for doing it. There's not one person here who's followed Jesus in baptism who wouldn't say, "Jesus has blessed us for doing that." That's one objection. Another objection that people will sometimes say, well, they'll say, "Well, I want to get baptized, but I want to learn more first. I want to grow in my faith first. I want to get my life right first." Can I tell you something about the Ethiopian eunuch? He knew very little about Jesus. He hadn't read the Gospels. He didn't know the Sermon on the Mount. He knew this. He knew that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus rose from the grave, and that Jesus had saved him. And he said, "See, here's water. What is there to prevent me from getting baptized?" You don't have to know everything. All you have to know is Jesus has saved you and you want to obey him. You will grow on the other side of baptism. That's the first step of obedience and discipleship. And you're really not ready to take the second, third, fourth, fifth step of discipleship until you have first fully taken that first step of following Jesus by being baptized. Somebody will say, "Well, I want to get my life right." Listen, this is the beginning of getting things right. You get this right, and then Jesus will continue to work in your life. Don't let that objection keep you from being baptized. Or somebody will make the objection, "Well, I want to wait on my family. I want to wait on my family." And sometimes they mean, "I want to wait till my whole family gets saved, and then I'll get baptized." I've heard dads tell me that. "Well, I'm saved, but I want to wait till my whole family gets saved, and then I'll get baptized." Listen, sir, Your family will be influenced by your positive example of following Jesus and being baptized. And they are more likely to get saved and follow Jesus if they see you as a dad or you as a mom or you as a son or a daughter following Jesus and being baptized. Some people will say, well, I want to make sure my whole family is there to watch me. And I understand that. But can I tell you something? We've got video. They can watch it. Don't let that keep you. And even if you say, and this could be a legitimate thing. Listen, when my son got saved, I wanted to see him get baptized. I wouldn't want him to miss it. In fact, I was right there with him when he got baptized. But don't let waiting on family cause you just to indefinitely put off that baptism. Today, if you've just been putting it off, at least come today and say, I want to get scheduled on this particular Sunday. It may be next Sunday, maybe the Sunday after that, to get scheduled to be baptized. It's so important. You need to do it as soon as possible. And I'm pleading with you to do it today. Some of you would say, well, I got baptized as a baby, or I got baptized in the past. And can I tell you something? If you were baptized as an infant, that was an act of your parents, of devotion and love for you and a concern for your spiritual condition. And that is, I'm not here to say anything disparaging about that, but I want you to understand, Bible baptism is believer's baptism. It means you've trusted Jesus and you're showing you trust Jesus by being baptized. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. One man came to me one time early in my pastorate, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I was baptized when I was a baby, and I feel like if I get baptized again, it'd be like me telling God that my first baptism wasn't good enough. And I said to him, just as sweetly as I knew how, I said, friend, first of all, what happened to you as a baby wasn't baptism. Baptism always follows believing. And secondly, it's not you telling God that your first baptism wasn't good enough. It's God telling you that you need to follow Jesus now by being baptized. When are you ready to be baptized? When you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. When are you ready to be baptized? When you're in a place where you can be baptized. You're in that place today. When can you be baptized? When you're willing. When you're willing to say yes to Jesus. Several years ago, I was in Israel, and we traveled to the place, that the actual place that scholars believe is the closest place you can come to the place where Jesus himself was baptized in the Jordan River. And we were there, and it's right on the border of Israel and Jordan. And so I decided to make a video about baptism while I was there. I wanted to promote baptism in my church. I thought I'd do this in the place where Jesus was baptized. So I found a place, and I'm standing there sort of on this platform, and behind me you can see the Jordan River where Jesus, the baptismal site of Jesus. And so I'm talking about how wonderful baptism is. I'm encouraging people to get baptized. I'm talking about this being the place where Jesus was baptized, all these things. And as I'm doing this, I don't know what's going on behind me, but here's what's going on. There's a family of five, a mom and dad, three children. The children are between the ages of 2 and 4. And the dad is dragging out each one of these children into the River Jordan to baptize them. And as he's doing this, the children are kicking and screaming at the top of their lungs. And I'm there in front of them and talking about how wonderful it is to be baptized. And behind me, he drags out this little girl. She's about 3 years old. And she's kicking, she's screaming. He takes her out of the water. She's screaming. He's splashing water up on top of her head. They get deeper and deeper into the water. He takes her out. She's screaming. His last, she can scream. He dunks her under the water one time. She comes up screaming. He dunks her down a second time. She comes up screaming more. Third time, screaming even more. All the while, I'm there talking about how great it is to be baptized. I'll promise you this. You'll never see that video. Here's my question. Was that little girl biblically baptized? But she was in the place where Jesus got baptized. And she was put underneath the water. I can testify. I've seen the video. She was put underneath the water. Three times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why do you say she wasn't biblically baptized? Because she hadn't believed. She didn't even understand what planet she was living on at that time. And more than that, she wasn't willing. She was kicking and screaming all the way. But if you believed, and if you're willing, I say to you the same thing that Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus. Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized. Join with me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this good day that you've given us, for the joy of hearing your word speak. And Lord, I pray for men and women and boys and girls, teenagers. I pray that today people would come. I pray today for some who are coming because right now they are trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to remind you, Jesus died for you and He promises He'll save you today if you call on His name. It's just as simple as praying a prayer like this. You can just pray, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross to save me. Right now I trust in you to give me your gift of eternal life. I turn from my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart right now, Jesus. Save me. And I will follow you. For I pray this, Jesus, in your name.